Thank you so much for joining us on the River City Church podcast. If you're blessed by this message today, we would love to hear from you. Check out our website at rivercitychurch.cc and let us know what God is doing in your life. If you would like to support this ministry financially, click the giving link on our website and choose the best option for you. Thank you again for joining us today. We hope you enjoy the message.
Doing good? Oh, I'm glad you're here this morning. You just made it halfway to flourishing, just walking in the door. I'm so glad that you're here. So glad that you came to worship with us. How many of you have some cards in your seat? Anybody have any cards in your seat here? I'm going to tell you, these cards are great. Ran into a guy last night that I wanted to invite to our church, and unfortunately, I'd run out of cards. I did such a good job inviting people that I didn't have any left in my wallet, and so I had to stop and give him all the information to the church and the website and all of these things. But how many of you know if you've got something in your hand to give somebody when you meet them, it's a whole lot easier. So I just want to remind you that these are here for you. And I ran into a guy at a pharmacy the other day, and he was just there. He was the pharmacist, and we were discussing a certain thing that I needed. And I said, hey, are you from Owensboro? He said, no, I'm not from Owensboro, but I just moved here. And he said he moved here from Lexington. Go Big Blue, right? Everybody, it's good. It's a good thing. So we had something in common, and then I started inviting him to church, telling him his kids were going to love it. And I just pulled one of these out, handed it to him, and he knew all the information he needed to know. He knew exactly where we were, and he knew that I wanted to welcome their family to come and to sit with me. So find somebody this week that is unchurched and that doesn't know, or that doesn't know Jesus, and I am telling you, this is your moment, and these are great for them. So make sure and take them with you. They are there for you and for at your disposal. How many of you are original native Owensboro folk? I mean, you're like, you are from this neighborhood. It's your spot. You're awesome. I love it. There are so, you know, I can't even remember the statistic, but it's extremely high of people that are in Owensboro that are from Owensboro. I mean, Owensboro, they stay because Owensboro is a good place, right? So I came from Texas. I'm not from Owensboro originally. In fact, I didn't even know how to say the word right. Everybody corrected me for about 2 years. And then I still can't say Bergu right. I don't even know what to do with that. And I worked at this furniture store when we first moved to town. And did I say it right that time? Did I get it right? I did good. That's awesome. I've been working on it. I do that in my spare time. Whenever I don't have anything to do, I just work on that word. It's good. So, but I used to work at a furniture store when we first moved to town because we were planning the church. And so I worked at a furniture store here. I sold a mean number of camouflage couches because you can do that in Owensboro. It was awesome. If I couldn't find anything else they liked, I would be like, come with me, sir. And then the wife would get mad because she would see what I was showing him. But it sold every time. It was awesome. And so I loved working at the furniture store. And one day it got a little cooler in the town. And they said, oh, we're all going to go and we're going to get chili. And we're going to bring it into the lunchroom. Do you want some? And I'm thinking, yeah, I'm a Texas girl. Yeah, I want chili. Let's do this thing. And so I give them my money. They bring it in. I go to put my spoon into this bowl, and how many of you know what I found? I did not find chili. I found spaghetti. I don't know what happened in that bowl, but there was nothing that I recognized as a chili substance in there. And then I learned about the chili roll that people put into chili, which is just a whole nother level of odd. And then I said, and then some people, you know, they do the spaghetti noodle, and some people, they do the macaroni noodle. How many of you are the macaroni people in the room? How many of you refuse to eat any noodles in your chili? Thank you for being the people of God. Jesus is not into spaghetti and chili. I'm just telling you, it's somewhere in the Gospels. So that just was so weird. But there are cultures in every place, and everybody has fun things that they love. In my, you know, I'm from Texas. Our chili is hot. It is savory. There is no sugar in it. And if you don't have a fresh tortilla beside it, you have not made it to the kitchen right. So I believe in tortillas with chili, and you probably don't. You've never even had that combination. But I'm telling you, it's a good good things. So cultures set up and people do certain things and people live in certain regions and they say things and they do things. It's just culture. It doesn't make one right and one wrong. It's just culture, right? Well, churches tend to have these things develop in them too. And culture is a big deal because it sets up how we believe and how we live and how we do things. And as a tribe, we begin to do things similarly, or we don't unite and we don't mesh together. And I just want to thank River City, because I was thinking this week about the culture of River City. It's one of the best cultures that I've ever known in church. And I just want to thank you so much, because you have a special gift. This is what I see here, is that we love learning and growing in God, but we're not willing to leave anybody else behind. We're going to take somebody's hand and take them with us as we go. You know, some people, they serve God long enough that they just think, I think I've reached where I'm going to learn and I'm good. And that person needs to learn more. And some people only want to learn and grow themselves. But right here in this room, there's a whole lot of people that aren't willing to stay where they are. They want to grow in God, but they also are not willing to go alone. They're going to take somebody with them. I want you guys to give yourselves a big old hand clap today. Because of that, that's a good culture. Today we're going to go, will you go with me? If you have your Bible, you have your phone, or you follow on the screen, we're going to go to the Gospel of Matthew chapter 25 today. If you don't know me, I'm Jesse Gibson. Welcome to River City Church. We are so glad to have you here today. Chapter 25, and we're going to start in verse 14. Now, this is a story that some of you may have read before. Maybe you've heard it before. It's called the Parable of the Talents. It's a great, great passage. Hope you'll be encouraged by the time we finish today. Verse 14, "For it will be like a man going on a journey, who called his servants and entrusted them his property. To one he gave 5 talents. Everybody say 5. To another 2, everybody say 2. And to another 1, everybody say 1. To each according to his ability. Then he went away, he who had received the 5 talents went at once and traded with them, and he made 5 talents more. So also he who had the 2 talents made 2 talents more. But he who had received the 1 talent went and dug in the ground and hid his master's money. Now after a long time, the master..." Everybody say a long time. The master wasn't a mean man. He gave to each according to his ability. There's nothing wrong with that. He divvied it out because he knew that they could handle it. 5 to the 5 ability, 2 to the 2 ability, and 1 to the 1 ability. And he didn't say, "Here's this talent, this is my belonging, and I'm going to give it to you, and tomorrow I'm going to show up, and you better have made a deal with it." He gave them a long time. So he was a kind man. And then he came back and settled accounts with them. And he who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 talents more, saying, "Master, you delivered to me 5 talents. Here you go. I've made 5 talents more." His master said to him, "Well done, good and faithful servant." How many of you want to hear that at the end of the day? "You have been faithful over little, I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master." And he also, who had the 2 talents, came forward saying, "Master, you delivered to me 2 talents. Here I have made 2 talents more." His master said to him, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over little, I will set you over much. Enter in to the joy of your master." Are you noticing a theme here? When they are faithful with the small things, God makes them the ruler over much. And then he says to them, "Well done, thou good and thou faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your master." Verse 24, "He also who had received the 1 talent came forward saying, 'Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow, gathering where you scattered no seed. So I was afraid, and I went and I hid your talent in the ground. Here you have what is yours.' But his master answered him, 'You wicked and slothful servant. You knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I scatter no seed. Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and at my coming I should receive what was my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to him who has the 10 talents. You see, this man didn't steal the man's money. He just hid it out of fear. How many of you have ever done anything out of fear? Fear is a big factor in every move in life because where fear abounds, faith cannot. You see, they are oil and water. They cannot dwell in the same spot. Faith is given to us. This is the first point I want to make to you today is that faith, a measure of faith is given to every man, the Bible says. I personally believe, and people believe it different ways, but I personally believe that God gives us a measure of faith that is enough to get us saved, that we have the faith measure that we need to believe in Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior and receive Him into our heart and become a Christian. And then God gives us the gift of what? Growing our faith. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the word of God. So when we hear the word of God, faith grows in our heart. Every time we open our ear, today, you're opening your ear to hear the word of God. Therefore, you have caused your faith life to be subjected to growth. God wants to grow and make your faith bigger and better. Did you know that there is no cap to faith? You don't cap out. There's not a place in this walk with Jesus that you go, I've got it. It's good enough. This is good for me. I've got enough faith. No, God's always growing your faith in different areas. How many of you have gotten more faith for things since you've met Jesus than you had when you started? Hopefully, you're growing in your faith for your family, your faith for finances, your faith for healing, your faith for every area of your life. God wants to prosper. He wants to push it forward. He wants it to succeed. He wants it to achieve. It doesn't mean we don't go through things. It doesn't mean there's no pain. It doesn't mean there's not an obstacle. It doesn't mean there's never a hurdle, but what it does mean is that God is looking to grow you in every single area, and He does it by the word of the living God. Comes in and renews us. It changes the way that we think. It builds us on the inside, and God does that because He wants you to have the ability to grow your faith as much as you are willing to press in. God gives us areas of dominion to practice that faith. Have you ever noticed that you have family members that if they would listen to you, their life would be better? How many of you have ever wanted a remote for your sibling? Anybody in the room? Yeah. They want yours too. I have been convinced at times that if I could just get my family member's remote that I could make their life better. But how many of you know that's not the way that God does this thing? He gives us areas of dominion to practice our faith. Just like the master passed out these talents, he was giving these men areas of dominion. He didn't come in with unrealistic expectations. I need it in a day. I need you to only do it this way. You know, this guy was good at trading cattle and he would only allow him to go and work as a farmer. He didn't do it. He wasn't trying to make it difficult. He just handed them a talent, a portion. And he said, I want you to go. You have an ability. You see, our master is looking at you saying you have ability. And you may be so focused on the five when God gave you one, and you can't even focus on doing something with your one because you're so mad that the five got the five, but the five's out trading and making it 10, and you're sitting on yours, dug in the ground, just ticked off that somebody else got five. And that is not God's plan for you. He wants to give you something and show you how to multiply it, grow your faith, grow your ability. And as we're faithful in the small, then God makes us ruler over much. So it's not really where we start, but where God takes us in this walk with Him. We kind of have dominion over an area of our life, and if we'll be faithful in that thing, then God will make us ruler. See, you either use it or you lose it. What happened to the guy that didn't do anything with it? It was taken and given to the guy with 10. Fear kept him from multiplying, from being faithful in the small and making himself ruler over much. He didn't know that he had dominion. You see, instead of just seeing it and seeing the man and thinking, if I do wrong, he's going to be so mad. So I'm just going to bury it and give it back to him. Instead of seeing, man, he saw something in me. He thought that I had an ability to do something with this one talent. The man followed fear the entire time, and because of it, it was taken away. Instead of using the dominion, that thing that was placed in his hand, he could have done anything with it, and he did nothing. See, we're given faith, we're given an area of dominion. In that area of dominion, it's important that you use it. God can't really make it happen for you in your area of dominion. You are required to move. I used to be a youth pastor. I loved being a youth pastor. In fact, when God moved me into another area of ministry, I was very upset. I didn't want to do it. I didn't like it. I love teenagers. I loved being a youth pastor. I mean, loved it. But there is one thing that I do not miss about being a youth pastor, and it is having to stay in a dorm at camp. If God spoke to me now and sent an angel, I would go to camp. Otherwise, it will never happen again. God bless every single youth volunteer. I would go into the dorm, and these girls had this ludicrous idea that they could all take a 20-minute shower, and we would all still have hot water. There were like 40 of them, and so that is not a thing. How many of you adults who have water heaters know that that's not a thing? So every single time that I would go in to take a shower, it would be cold. So that morning, I knew what was coming for me, a freezing cold shower after I had served so humbly all of these teenagers. It was basically like I felt like I was in the 1040 window and I was being persecuted. I had a pity party that was enormous. I was very aggravated, and I really felt like my happiness their safety depended on my happiness that day. So I was trying to be kind, but I was a little bit aggravated that every single morning I was taking a freezing cold shower. So on my way to the shower, I'm like, Jesus, I am asking you for hot water. You can do this, God. You can turn water into wine. You can turn cold water into hot water. I know you can do it. Lord, I am asking, just please, God, just one this week, just one. I kept reaching into the shower to fill the shower. No, nothing. Freezing cold water. I'm getting more and more aggravated by the minute, and I completely lose all of my faith theology, and I begin to beg God. God, I am begging you for hot water today. I'm just asking if you could just do this one thing for me. I cannot take another freezing cold shower. And the Lord speaks to me and he says, I want you to look at the faucet. When I looked, I had it on cold. And the Lord said, there's nothing I can do for you. You're on your own. You see, all I had to do was just turn the right handle. That was my area of dominion. I had the authority to take a hot shower. But I had not been willing to pay enough attention to my area of dominion to get it, because I just already believed that it couldn't happen. Fear had already overtaken me. I already just knew that I knew that I knew that cold showers were my destiny. And some of you right now are living a life where you do not even believe that God has in store for you what he does. And he's saying, I can't do anything. Hands off. This is your area of dominion. You've got to take your hand and turn that knob. And if you will, I will give you hot water in your life. I'm telling you, dominion is a big deal. I've seen so many kids who have trouble, and most of the time it's the parents who just won't take dominion over that. I've seen marriages that they're struggling, that a lot of times people just won't take dominion and begin to take care of the small things, and God let them be the ruler over much. I've seen businesses that have potential that have depleted and gone down because someone just won't put their dominion into practice. Someone just refuses to look at the faucet and say, maybe, just maybe, this isn't God's will. I just haven't turned the right knob just yet. God gives you dominion. Whatever you put your hand to, the Bible says that it will prosper. The third thing that God gives us is just the ability to show up and do something. Do you know showing up's half the battle? I mean, half the battle's showing up. Every morning when you show up to work, you have halved the battle. I'm telling you, just showing up every day. Do you know half of parenting? Showing up. Being there when they need you to be there every single time. Just as Samuel Gibson, my son, he loves everybody to be in the house. He collects everyone. He counts everyone. He doesn't really want to talk to you, hang out with you, or do anything. He'd probably rather play a video game, but he just likes to know that everybody showed up. See, that's family. Family shows up. Friends show up. Churches show up. That's half the battle. We show up. God gives us faith. He gives us dominion, and he gives us an ability to show up in the spot that he's called us to. Sometimes we want to be hard on people in the Bible. You know, number 5, he killed it. How many of you can agree he killed it? I mean, 5. He turned it into 10. He doubled it. He did incredible. Now, number 2, nobody talks about because no one cares about the middle child. That's just the basics of everything. But number 1, everybody's hard on number 1 like he buried it, you know? But sometimes people just don't know that they have ability. They don't understand that even getting 1 is God's sign of blessing on them, that he's saying to them, man, I believe in you, and if you'll be faithful in this small thing. You know, always in Scripture, it's easier. Like, if you know someone personally and you have compassion on them, you're not nearly as judgmental. Like, if you like someone, but if you read something on Facebook, you're coming down on that person. Like, I cannot believe them. And the Bible seems to be like 10 times more than that. Like, we're all like, Eve, come on. Were you really that hungry? You just damned humanity for all of eternity. Thanks a lot. I can't believe that you couldn't control your ability, the desire for fruit for one more day so that all of us didn't have to go through this. And let's talk about Adam who followed a woman. But then there's men all over this room that would do just about anything women want them to do because men love to do what women want them to do because that makes women happy. And when women are happy, how many of you know, great things happen in the world. We're so judgmental of those people, so judgmental of 1. But how many of you know, sometimes 1 just didn't have the mama that 5 had. Sometimes their mama just didn't show up and say, not gonna happen, buddy, sit it down. Sometimes 1 just didn't have a teacher that said, hey, I believe in you, and I'm not letting you out of this junior high until you believe in yourself. Sometimes that teacher in that school makes all the difference in the world. Sometimes number 1 just didn't have a daddy who was into business or knew anything about it, and he didn't have time to sit down and teach him because he was working all the time. Sometimes 1 just didn't get the ability. Sometimes 5 just had a job where he got to sit for long periods of time in the silence and he got to dream just a little bit. And 1 had chaos all around and just didn't have that moment to sit and to create dreams that would cause him to say, man, if I ever got 1 talent, this is what I would do with it. If I ever got something in my hand that I could use, I promise you, I'd push that thing forward. People come from all different parts of life, and maybe, just maybe, you think you came from a 1 environment, but I want to let you know something today. There is no caps in God. He's just giving you 1 so that you can multiply it. He wants to take you to 5. He's not judging. He's gifting. Sometimes we see things that are a gift as something that is squishing the God thing on the inside of us. And nothing could be further from the truth. God is lifting. He is helping. He is giving you the ability to push forward. Because honestly, if we'll be faithful in the small things, God will make us a ruler over much. And maybe it seems small to you. Maybe something seems small to others, but it seems really big to you. But I promise you that if you will be faithful in it, God will begin to multiply it. God will begin to multiply the small thing that you are faithful in. Say, Jesse, what exactly are you talking about, the small things? How about your children's hearts? If we'll be faithful to steward and shepherd their hearts, God will make us the ruler over great children. By ruler, I don't mean that we're going to crush them and dominate. I mean that God is going to cause us to grow a family that will be a legacy and that they will be a testimony of God's goodness. Those little hearts matter to God, and every time that we choose to steward them correctly and stop when life is so chaotic and just choose, God, it may not seem big to everybody else, but this is my small thing that you've asked me to be faithful in. Every single time that you have to reheat your coffee, mama, because you didn't get it down in your system when goodness knows you need it, because you stopped to take care of the small things, God looks and he counts it as faithfulness to him. Your spouse, have you tended that garden lately? Might seem small to someone else, but how many times have you just looked at your spouse and said, man, how can I help them today? How can I encourage their heart today? How can I make life just a little bit easier for them today instead of always, why haven't they sent me flowers lately? Why have they not done this for me lately? Why have they not done that for me lately? We decide to be faithful in the small things and allow God to make us a ruler over a great marriage, that we are going to have this place that we live in.
What about your money? Have you chosen to be faithful in the small things? Have you named your dollars? Do you know where they go? Are you going to be faithful in the small and let God then make you ruler over much? Or are we going to toss dollar bills out the window on the way down the bypass and then ask God why we don't have enough money for our electric bill? If we are faithful in the small things, God has a great ability to make us the ruler over much. What about your emotions? Have you taken care of yourself lately? It's a big deal to care for yourself as you take care of this body, this temple, as you take care of your mental health, as you take care of your soul. God says, hey, I think that they'll be faithful in that. I'm going to open up a window of time that they can bless the people around them. You see, if we'll be faithful in the small things, God will cause us to overflow, make us ruler over much. What about the word that the last word God gave you? Have you been faithful over that word? Have you taken it? Have you looked at it? Have you asked God how it applies to you and how you can function in it? Have you asked God where you can go with it next? Have you asked God what to do with it today? Have you been faithful over that small thing, maybe to someone, but a big thing in your life? The small things, how about the people that God brings you today? You see, when we first started this church, I'd been a youth pastor over hundreds of kids. And when we planted River City Church, I got six kids. They were the small things that God had given me to be faithful over, three of which caught the trash can on fire every single week. They loved to catch the trash can on fire. I still do not know. How many of you don't want to be judged on your 14-year-old self? Still see those trash can boys in town sometime. I want to say, why? Why were you torturing me? But I just let it go, smile at them and wave as they go by. Caught the trash can on fire. I couldn't get them to listen to me because they were so distracted trying to plan their next arson move. And I'm saying, God, what am I going to do with these kids? And he said, just be faithful in the small things and I'm going to make you ruler over much. Just a couple years ago, April Cooper, right here on the front row, got up and gave testimony about a drama that same youth group did just a few more people in. And believe me, April was one of the trash can burners. No, I'm just kidding. She wasn't. They were there and they decided they wanted to do a drama. Now, mind you, every kid was in the drama. I don't know who we were doing the drama for because pretty sure I was the only one watching it from the congregation. Small group, but we were learning to be faithful with the small things. I said, if we'll be excellent with what God puts in our hand, he's going to make us ruler over much. They wanted to do this drama. We put together this drama. We wrote this drama. I'm sure it was like one of the best. Should have been on the awards shows or something. And they were doing this drama and we were talking about, they said, we really need a spotlight or two to spotlight the people that are talking when they're talking. And I'm thinking, I'm the only one watching this production. But we went and we got this spotlight and we lit this drama up, and there was a couple kids there watching it, and they would sit in the floor and they would turn on the light, off the light, on the light, off the line. And I said, hey, if we'll be faithful in the small things, there is nothing that God won't be able to trust us with. And I could tell they were buying in. You can tell when teenagers start to buy in. And then the next week we got there, we were going to do the drama in youth ministry. And I looked down and they had gotten black shirts at Hobby Lobby with those white felt letters. They had ironed them on and it said, lighting crew. You talk about blessing a pastor's heart. I'm like, they have bought in. It's like one of the best days of my life. I'm like, they are killing it. Look at this. They were making it something big. They were faithful in the small. And just a couple years ago, April got up and gave testimony at our women's conference saying, all of this that God has done, he did it because there were people that would be faithful to just iron their stuff on their shirt and say, let's be faithful with what we have in our hand. Are you being faithful with your opportunities this week? Because God is obligated to you, not beyond giving you an opportunity. You see, God provides opportunity, and then we step into the place that God has provided for us. What is the opportunity that he gave you? Years ago, we used to do this concert out in public. And if there's one thing that I'm not comfortable with, it is outdoor concerts. I'm very fair-skinned. I do not like sunshine directly on me. When you stand on a semi-truck, that sun feels like it's burning you to death. I did not want to do these concerts. We did them every year. We got invited every year. Every year I would say, "Are you sure?" And everybody would say, "Yes, we should do it." And I would think, "Oh, man." But I would show up, because showing up's half the battle. We would do worship, and I had no earthly idea what was happening, but there was a man in that congregation that years later would come and help us build one of the best databases that this church has ever had. Super special to our community, beautiful part of our congregation. River City Church wouldn't be the same without him, and he said that he was in that crowd when we did that concert. And God said, in a few years, you're going to be a part of that church, and I want you to go and be pastored there. Spoke to his heart right there in the middle of that place. See, we were just faithful with an opportunity. We probably didn't get anything else accomplished that day, but God drew him in and made him a part of our church and of our life because we were faithful with just what an opportunity. What is your opportunity today that you can be faithful in? Some of you are so overwhelmed in life and God's asking you just to focus in. Will you be faithful with your position? Will you be faithful with your reputation? Single people, will you be faithful with the single people around you and their hearts and treat them like brothers and sisters in Christ and not a piece of meat that belongs to you, but a soul that belongs to God? Because I promise you that if you will be faithful with the small parts of that relationship, that God will make you ruler over a great marriage one day. You will have the blessing of God on you as you take care of things and you treat them like God would treat them, as you love them like God would love them, as you encounter them like God would have you encounter them. He's going to open up the windows of heaven and begin to pour you. Say, "Jesse, why are you picking on the single people today?" I'm not picking. I'm helping. I'm lifting you right now. No one's ever told you that if you will steward another single person like God would have you treat them, that he will open something up for you that will bring a spouse into your life that will love you like Christ loved the church. It's a big deal how we do the small things. Are you faithful with your attitude? Because it is almost everything. You say, "Jesse, what do you mean it's almost everything?" You can change the atmosphere by your attitude, and you can win the atmosphere by your attitude. How many of you have ever felt somebody in the room? No? Yeah. Felt somebody in the room. You could feel them. Why? Because they were there and their attitude was taking the space over. Attitude is almost everything. How many of you have ever been around someone that was so positive you just could not get away from them? You just kept on wanting to come back for more. It's like, what in the world is going on with this person? I have got to be near them. That is the kind of person that wins people. That is the kind of person that God makes ruler over much. The attitude of gratitude changes everything in our heart and in our life. I'm telling you, we either use what God puts in our hand or we will eventually lose that thing. How many of you have ever worked out for a long time and then stopped? Doesn't start, it doesn't keep on forever. We have a nephew and he works out every single morning before he goes to work. And every time we see him, Brian says, "Dude, getting kind of small. Do you think you should go back to the gym?" And he looks panicked every time. Because he's working to build those muscles and he wants to look good, right? He doesn't want to be told that he looks small. He wants to be told that he looks big. He wants to work those muscles and he wants to get as good looking as he can get because he doesn't have a woman yet and it is important to his life. How many of you know you get that woman and something happens, people flip the switch and they stop. And we all started eating donuts, didn't we? It was awesome. You either use those muscles or you lose those muscles in every area of your life, physically, emotionally, spiritually. You sing, you'll keep on singing good. You stop singing, you'll lose it, won't you, Tiffany? It starts to dwindle over time. God's not removing it. It's the natural order of things. You must practice what you want to be big in your life. It's a part of the natural order that God has just set in place. And I am telling you today that God has some of you in here for one purpose, because you're you're so overwhelmed and you're looking at this big picture and God's just saying, if you will just focus in and be faithful in the small things that I'm urging you in, if you'll just be faithful and you'll use the talent, the gift that God has placed in your hand, then I am going to cause you to be ruler over much. I'm going to cause success to rise in your life. I'm going to cause joy and the fruits of the Spirit to grow in you. I'm going to cause your spiritual walk to begin to progress at a rapid pace. God is looking to double somebody today. He's looking for someone who will believe him and stay out of fear and hand those five talents, that one talent, or even if you're the middle child, those two talents. He'll just take those two and say, I'm going to do something lest I do nothing. God's going to show up on your behalf. He's going to show up on your behalf. He's going to show up on your behalf. Say, Jesse, I don't know if I believe it. Listen to me. I'm saying it by faith. I'm prophesying it over you today. He's going to show up on your behalf. He's going to show up on your behalf. He's going to show up on your behalf. Where everybody says it can't be done, he's going to show up on your behalf. He's going to show up every time on your behalf. We say, Jesse, I don't know if I have enough for this area of my life. You be faithful in the small. God's going to take care of the much. You be faithful in the small. God's going to take care of the much. Man, Jesse, I need this today. I needed this word today. It's helping me. It's encouraging me. It's building me. If that's you, I just want you to lift one hand to heaven. Listen, just stretch your hand out to God. Say, God, what is it? What are the small things? Show me what you want from me today, this week, this week, God, and I will be faithful to steward over it. God, I thank you that you're growing these people. Lord, as they lift their hands to you, they're lifting their heart to you. That's what your word says. It says, when I lift my hand, that I'm lifting my heart. So God, right now, I speak over their heart. I say that it's growing. I say that it is faithful and that it will be said of them, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter in to the joy of the Lord. Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord.